Christmas. No matter where you look, it's absolutely everywhere. And unlike Mariah Carey, nothing says Christmas more so than a giant tree in the middle of town.
In Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland, stands Te Manaaki. A tree of 18.4 metres in height, has 10,000 LED lights and over 200 big baubles.
It caused a slight controversy over its cost, with media reporting $1.3 million, a figure from Auckland Ratepayers Alliance.
And Auckland Council stumping up $800,000 of those dollars from Central City Property and Business Rates. Don't forget though, this tree is a permanent fixture and will last for some time yet.
The mood on the street to the cost? Sounds like this.
Oh, okay.
Is that a bit steep?
Yeah. that's okay. What is it made of?
I have no clue.
I feel it's all right. Yeah.
Can't put a price on Christmas, can you?
No. Not at all.
Despite that, people seem to like it.
It's wonderful. It's really amazing. It's very, very nice.
Would you call this tree world class?
Definitely. Yes, it is.
I think it's very good.
Very good?
Yeah.
Do you think it's world class?
I wouldn't know, but I would say so. Yeah.
So who puts Christmas trees like this, or anywhere else for that matter, together?
One person with skin in the game is logistics elf Liz Santos of the Christmas Decorators. And she started at the beginning, explaining how the company came to be.
So the Christmas Decorators was born out of a high need and want in the market about 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, my events company, Cut the Mustard, started to receive quite a lot of requests for Christmas trees. And I thought in my great wisdom as a business owner that I would start to bring in Christmas trees and do unique one-off Christmas designs, and there didn't seem to be many people in the market sort of 20 years ago doing it. So I thought, yeah, great business opportunity. And so I went out and I purchased, I think it was the original order was about 20 trees and a bunch of decorations, and they went out the door like hot potatoes.
What makes a good Christmas decorator? Is there a certain, when you're bringing people onto the team, do they need to be quite across different styles of decoration?
So the interesting thing about Christmas trees, it's a formula, like anything else. There's a formula to how we decorate a tree. There's a process to how you put a tree up. The most important part for me and what I say to my staff and my new crew is fluffing your tree. So when you take it out of the box, that you open up all the branches, every single branch, and you start at the bottom and work your way up. We put on lights up and down a Christmas tree as opposed to around a Christmas tree, and there's lots of reasons for that. And we use a selection of five decorations. Of those five decorations, one is a soft decoration and the other four is hard. Where I guess the creativity and where I guess our trees are unique from everybody else's is my brain when I go and pick the decorations. And I guess it's the ability to pick the different shapes, sizes and textures of the decorations and to give variety but also to give form. So if you're talking about a 7-foot tree, there is between 150 and 200 decorations on a tree that size. And so when people are going out and buying, they're buying 20 decorations maybe or 30 decorations. So in a lot of cases, my clients just say to me, you know what, Liz, just do whatever you do because you do it so well. So I get free range. Some clients come to me and say they want a corporate colour scheme. Some clients come to me and they say they want a Kiwiana tree. And so it really depends on the client. We did the Te Papa tree. So we get some clients like Te Papa who want to reflect the exhibitions in their tree. So as we all know, Vivienne Westwood's jewellery is coming to Wellington. And so that tree is based on her punk tartan that she did for the Sex Pistols and that whole era in London in the 70s, the late 70s. And so that tree is covered in tartan hearts, safety pins and studded balls. So we get to do fun things like that.
Just very quickly, speaking of trends, since you're seeing trends pop up each year, do you have any predictions for next year?
It's really hard to do. It's really hard to predict. As you can understand, New Zealand is quite a small country. And so when we pre-order from China, the factories are all looking to Europe. So Europe tends to set the scene. So this year was very much dark green and copper was very much the colours that came in this year. And so we bought in quite a lot of those colours. So I'm always on the hunt for those kind of unusual colours.
A lot of just prior planning and foresight and hoping you've sort of put your chips in the right place, eh?
Yeah, well, the other thing is that you have to place your order by February, March of next year for that year. So you really have to sort of stick your neck out and make some decisions and hope for the best.
Thank you so much for your time today. That's Liz Santos of the Christmas Decorators. She is the logistics elf. I love that. How do I get elf in my job title?
Oh, well, if you come work for us, you get a T-shirt that says Decoration Elf on the back.
Corey, mate, I might just go join their team and be an elf.
Not even one episode in, and you're already thinking of jumping Waka, mate.
No. I'm loving the show, but, you know, I'm just doing it for the T-shirt.
Oh, okay, cool. Moving along, I spoke with Stephen Blackburn, the events manager for Wellington City Council, because the cost of the trees in the capital this year was seen as a bastion in the press of cost-saving efficiency when compared to Auckland's Te Manaaki. And he explains that at first, the city's approach to Christmas had to change completely due to construction.
A couple of years ago, we had been doing an event for Christmas that closed down Lambton Quay, but with the work that was planned over the redevelopment of the Golden Mile of Wellington City, we couldn't guarantee that we could actually do that going forward for at least a few years while that work was being undertaken. So we decided to reshape Christmas into a celebration across the four quarters of the city. As a result, we themed the decorations to the quarters, the Cuba Quarter, the Courtney Place Quarter, the waterfront. So, for instance, the waterfront has a Christmas tree that has all marine symbols in its decorations, that sort of thing. Because the city's going through a phase of reconstruction over the next little while, we wanted to celebrate that fact and actually make a bit of fun of it. We actually had in Courtney Place last year a Christmas tree made from road cones, multicoloured road cones, and elves putting out orange Christmas tree road cones all around the city.
Yeah, you're saying that, and I do have a JPEG right in front of me of said road cone Christmas tree from last year. It's very funny. Can you remember the type of feedback you got from the public surrounding that?
I have to say that one, it was mixed, let's say. Some that seemed to be quite offended by the joke, and others that laughed along with it and thought it was a good dig at the fact that we were a city of road cones, much like Auckland's been for quite a while. So it was mixed, I have to say. This year we've decided to go somewhere different with it in Courtney Place. Courtney Place being the entertainment district of the city and the theatre district. We partnered with some of the entertainment industry suppliers for lighting equipment, and they've come together and created a very special tree for Courtney Place made out of lighting truss and theatrical lighting equipment.
I also have another JPEG of this tree as well, and I will say, I pulled a very rookie move, Stephen, when I first saw this image, right?
Yes.
Unfortunately, I judged the book by its cover before reading about it.
Oh, right.
So I saw the image and I said, this is a full quote here that I had to get from someone else. I said this, oof, this tree looks a little pohara. There's plenty of bauble, but scant amount of plastic fur. I can see this tree's metal skeleton, unquote. what would you say to that, Stephen?
I think that our comms maybe not have been strong enough about communicating to everyone what it's thinking behind the tree. But it's actually labelled on the tree base itself that it's a celebration of the entertainment district and that it's made of truss. At night, I have to say, it looks even more spectacular.
Have you got lights on it?
Yes.
Ah,
yes, it's
see,
fully
now,
lit up at night.
Now, the image does not reflect that. This photo was taken during the daytime, so there's none of that going on.
No, you need to see it at night as well. Same with the bucket fountain, the famous bucket fountain in Cuba Street. We light that up at night like a Christmas tree as well.
I did see articles about reworking the bucket fountain. What have you guys done? Because there's no images with that as well. You know what, Stephen? I'm just going to have to come down and visit and see this for myself.
You are. You're more than welcome to come and view it all.
Let me get back to how all of this really happens, right? I imagine that there's a whole lot of different roles that people are playing here. Who has, for example, the power to confirm what those final plans are? Who comes up with the designs? Can you talk to any of that?
Well, ultimately, it's me that's responsible for what goes out on the streets. In terms of this year's Christmas tree in Courtney Place, that was actually a 15-year-old boy suggested that idea. The son of somebody I knew who works in the theatre pitched this idea to me, and I went, what a fantastic idea. So we developed it up with all the suppliers.
Are there any tendering processes here? Who hooks the council up with the latest and greatest in Christmas accessories?
Well, there's a number of international companies that supply large-scale Christmas decorations, particularly for outdoor use. Most of them are imported by a company called Celebrations, which is based out of Auckland. Mm. So we often partner with them around some of the decorations that we're using. And because I've got a very small team in council doing all the major events, signature events that we do across the year, so I actually am fortunate in having a company that I contract Christmas to, that I meet with their director, Jamie Wilson, and we discuss the ideas that I have for Christmas each year, and then it's up to him to then realise them. It allows me to have the rest of the team focused on delivering the rest of the summer programme, which they're very busy preparing for at that time.
You said that you had a relatively small team, but it's a huge logistical, I can only sense, nightmare. I wonder, just how much time do you guys have to prepare and bring everything up?
It can be a logistical nightmare depending on the weather particularly, because that can have a big impact on how quickly the trees go up or don't go up, as the case may be.
Mm.
There's a team usually of about six crew that assemble each tree. They're stored in containers off-site from the city each year and then brought in, and it usually takes around 3 days to install each of the trees. So we do that well in advance in November, ready for the Christmas period when we start to kick off with Christmas in the quarters, which is usually around mid to late November that starts.
How soon is too soon to put up a Christmas tree? Do you go off of when malls start to play the music?
You're asking the wrong person there, Corey. My kids would tell you that I put it up way too early. If I could put it up prior to Halloween, I would.